Welcome to the Andy Griffin Show.
Wake up!
With your chance to sound off, give your opinion, and tell us your thoughts. It's on.
It's now.
It's here. It's the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5, KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Happy Friday. Yeah, we've almost made it to the weekend. Glad you're along to listen today. I'm Andy Griffin. It's Open Line Friday with a little asterisk by it. We're going to spend a couple of minutes with a guest first, and then we'll open up the phone lines and get things rolling that way. But I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. We're here every weekday, 9 a.m., 9:08, I guess, technically, whether it's raining or not. And it's not at the moment, but it has been. All right, let's bring our guest in. Tim Anderson is with me. Tim, how are you today?
Doing well, Andy. It's one of those good Fridays. Hopefully it won't rain any. We got plenty of rain. Maybe we can get some sun.
Yeah, I think a lot of the officials are like, all right, enough praying for rain. You can stop now. But Tim, folks who don't know who Tim is, he is an attorney. He's a kind of a Utah, Southern Utah, I don't know, historian is the right word, but he's an author. I don't know, what am I forgetting, Tim? You've kind of done it all down here in Southern Utah.
I've just been here for a long time. I think I tied for number 12 as lawyers in town, and now there's over 350. So been here since, practicing law since there were two stoplights.
Now, boy, I think Natalie Larson was saying yesterday there's something like 200 and something stoplights in the area now, 206 or something. So things have changed just a bit since you've been here. There's a controversy right now up in Cedar City. And by the way, I do want to mention Tim Anderson is a part of the Southwest Utah Heritage Coalition with Dixie State changing their name to Utah Tech. Before we jump into the SUU stuff, any updates on the old Dixie State Utah Tech front?
Well, you know, it's DSUHC, Benyon Southwestern Utah Heritage Coalition.
There it is, yeah.
And they deal with lots of things that deal with the history, heritage, culture, and tradition of the area. And certainly the name change issue is a hot one. Yeah, there's a lawsuit that George Staley has going against forcing the university to disclose the documentation that was supportive of the Cicero study, because we think that the study itself was inconsistent with the information that the university used to try to get the name changed. And so issues like that are still rolling. But there's always something to talk about. And in a lot of ways, this subject today relates also to the history, heritage, and culture of Western Utah.
Up at SUU, the commencement ceremonies, they had asked Apostle Jeffrey Holland from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to give the commencement speech. Now, Holland, for those that aren't familiar with him, the former president at Brigham Young University. He's one of the 12 apostles for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But beyond all that, he is also an incredibly intelligent man and an amazing public speaker, which, you know, and he's from Southern Utah. And so you put all that together, it seemed like really a natural deal for SUU to ask him to give their commencement speech. But some students have taken exception. They don't like the church's stance on the LGBTQ. They don't like some of the things that President Holland has said about young people. Any thoughts on this whole topic and what's going on up there in Cedar City?
Well, I'm an SUU grad as well, and I love the university. And the president there, Mindy Benson, very good friend of mine. And so I think it's always this challenge at universities. This is nothing new. And I think to try to pull opposition when you have a religious leader in your community that's been called to speak, because by the very nature of religion, it's not difficult to line up, you know, a bunch of petition signatures, especially in Utah. And so in a way, that's nothing new. That's just sort of a nothing burger. Issue as far as the number of petitions, signatures. But I think the best point that's been made really is by Utah Equity, who is, you know, they're a group that supports LGBTQ civil rights. But the point they make is that they feel that there should be open discussion. They don't think that the speech should be silenced. on this issue, and their director, Troy Williams, and their policy director, Marina Lokinon, said that. And then quoting from the article, it says, we also understand the principles of freedom of expression, which are the hallmark of a free and pluralistic society, mean that even those with whom we disagree are entitled to express themselves, especially in an academic setting. Now, that's a pretty clear statement that's very consistent with the Constitution. It's consistent with the fact that universities should be open. They're free speech zones. It's the place you go to learn, not to just be somehow corralled. And I think that's part of the problem, is that we just so often see student activist groups these days act like mobs and think they're going to change the rights that we have under the Constitution of freedom of expression. And this is just one of those clashes.
Do you feel like universities have changed over the years? It used to be, like you said, they were institutions of learning where you could get a whole bunch of different ideas and then study them out for yourself and make a decision on which way you want to go. Now it feels like, Tim, that we go to university and there's a lot of very liberal thoughts being shoved down young people's throats. That's what it seems like to me from the outside looking in.
Well, unless you believe, you have to believe a few things. You have to believe that global warming is causing all these changes in our environment, and that a lot of money has to be put behind it. You have to believe in critical race theory. You have to believe that there are more than two genders. There's all sorts of things that are sort of litmus tests that are given these days, particularly among among professors and the academians. And they obviously require students to adhere to those views. And the fact they require it is the problem. What they need to do is present all views. If they really want to follow the science on things, then they should be true to that point, because the science does apply in many respects. And it's ignored if it is against a person's political, social, or moralistic narrative. And so tolerance sort of swings both ways. And right now we're seeing a level of intolerance against a religious leader in a state where religion really means something. And I think that's a problem. And so universities have changed, yes, when they try and use this sort of approach to silence free speech, especially religious speech.
It's worth noting, too, this isn't just, at Harvard or over there at, Florida State or whatever. We're talking about universities right here, Utah Tech or, former Dixie State. We're talking about SUU. My son graduated with several different degrees from BYU, but he got so far into this programs, he realized that he was, as a conservative young man, he was in the minority in this psychology program that he was in, and he got shouted down, Tim, several times during class by very, very liberal class members and professors at BYU because of his conservative thoughts and beliefs. He tried to defend himself, but when it's 18-1, they're all yelling at you. That's a pretty tough thing to do.
Yeah, and to your point, This runs through academia at all levels. It certainly at our local university here, at SUU and other schools. But I think that they try hard to not allow it to be so extreme, but it is. And I think that as parents, we need to understand that where we choose to send our children to school. I think that we have to be as activist as we can to help support many of our local leaders at the university so that they can stand up against this stuff, because it's not going to go away. I mean, we had a professor at Dixie, at SU, or whatever we call the universities, at Utah Tech, wanting to do away with a statue here in town, wanting to attack our heritage. We had the provost in a speech in October of last year basically suggested that there were going to be social warriors in our community, and that everything had to sort of run through the sieve of the university in order to figure out what's correct in determining, in testing whether things are true or not. And so we don't need to look at the universities for truth. We need to look at universities for education and let everybody reach their own truth.
Oh, good point. A couple of quotes from Jeffrey R. Hall, and this is the guy they're trying to not let speak at commencement. There's one of my favorites. He said, so keep loving, keep trying, keep trusting, keep believing, keep growing. Heaven is cheering you on today, tomorrow, and forever. Another one, if you are lonely, please know you can find comfort. If you're discouraged, please know you can find hope. If you are poor in spirit, please know you can be strengthened. If you feel you are broken, please know you can be mended. This is a guy, they don't want to speak on their account. It seems like to me, his messages are always positive, upbeat, good messages. And I know the issue is bigger than this, and to Holland's credit, he has not made any kind of statement yet on this. He's just going to kind of let it work its way out. I can't find anything negative about having this guy, Jeffrey Holland, speak. It's not like he's trying to brainwash anybody.
No, again, it's basic Utah stuff. You know, it's not difficult for people to take a strong position and polarize on an issue that relates to religion. That's the nature of our culture. And so I think the whole objection is sort of being overbaked, because this will always happen. And but to have a religious leader, if we have if we're in Morocco and we have a Muslim cleric speaking, or if we're in Maryland and we have a Catholic bishop speaking, these are leaders. These are people who express the point of view of much of the community. And the fact that a university, which is really just the government of education, remember, that's all higher ed is. It's the government of education. Well, as the government, they have to respect the Constitution. And you can't simply use the power of the government to stop free and open expression, particularly a religion expression. There has to be a compelling reason if the government's going to squash freedom of expression. And just to say, well, he might talk about religion and say things about conscience and about doing good and making choices and being accountable in your life that bothered you, you shouldn't be, that should not be squashed, because that's what religion is. And so there simply is no room for the government to quash religious free expression, particularly in this case or in practically any other case, because that's much of what America is all about.
Well, and what you said earlier really rings true. Freedom of expression, it cuts both ways. It's supposed to anyway, but a lot of the folks with more liberal leaning say, well, I want to be able to say whatever I want, but I don't want you to be able to say whatever you want. And
those that want to, from a more liberal side, and they want to express their view, and if it's quashed by government, I support them. I may not agree with their position,
yeah,
but I certainly support the concept that the government cannot stop freedom of expression. I don't care where it comes from. And there are conditions that can be created as to where it's appropriate. But certainly a religious leader speaking at something as important as commencement, that's sort of in the duh category. That's obvious. That's where they should.
He's attorney Tim Anderson. Tim, thanks for coming on. Tell us a little bit about your book again, how we can get a hold of it. I'm actually in the process of reading your book right now. For the faint of heart readers, though, it's pretty thick.
Oh, The Reign of the Stavka.
Yes.
It's been around for a long time. There's two novels I've written, The Reign of the Stavka and Too Close to Kill.
Oh, I'm going to have to get that second one, yeah.
Some time ago, about the breakup of the Soviet Union, and if you can get it on Amazon. Or you can come to my office at Curtin McConkie, and we'll have an extra for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you coming on today.
Okay, well, good luck. Have a good day.
All right, you too. That was Tim Anderson, and Tim's a sharp guy. That's the thing I like about him, maybe more than anything else. He's just a sharp guy who cuts through some of the haze that folks who, they'll throw up the smoke screen to get you to maybe not really understand what's happening. But Tim does a good job of kind of cutting through all the smoke screen and getting to the truth. Again, Jeffrey Holland, they're, and here's the thing too about this whole thing up in Cedar City. The Salt Lake stations have picked it up. I'm guessing it's going to be picked up nationally by the wire services soon as well. These LGBTQ students forming a committee or a group to and petitions being signed opposing having Jeffrey Holland speak at their commencement. There is a counter movement. There are a lot of people, and I don't know, I don't have numbers on either side, but there are a lot of people, probably as many or more, that want to hear Jeffrey Holland speak. But none of the news outlets are picking up on those people. They are just picking up on the dissenters, the people who say, no, don't let him speak. And I'm hoping that there can be fair representation as this thing sorts out, because, you know, it's like Tim was saying, it's like I was saying, they want free speech as long as it's something that they want to say. But once you want also free speech, and then they're gonna fight you. One more quote from Jeffrey Holland. When life is hard, remember, we are not the first to ask, is there no other way? Obvious reference there to Jesus Christ. And maybe that's the problem, the bottom line of it all, of these protesters. They don't want religion, period. They don't want religion in their lives. They don't want it referenced. They don't want it on their television shows. They don't want it on the radio. Ooh, here we are talking religion on the radio. Oh, they're probably going to protest me. I don't know. It's 9:24 on KDXU. Had an experience last night. Got to go to TEDx, which I admit I got free tickets. That's pretty cool. Melody actually got us rolling on that. Melody, are you there?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing night. I loved it.
Yeah, very, very cool experience. Honestly, Melody, I didn't know what to expect doing it. I had never been to a TEDx. I don't really watch TED Talks on the internet. My wife is way into this stuff, and she's all, oh, you should listen to this talk. And I'm like, yes, dear. You know, there's a ball game on, leave me alone, that kind of thing. But I didn't know what to expect going in. I had glanced at the list of speakers, Mello, but I was like, okay, I don't really know who these people are. We'll find out. I was impressed with the vast swath. I mean, we had old people, we had young people, we had middle-aged people. There was a cowboy there, a guy talking about, you know, how to tame horses, and it was actually a really cool kind of variety of people and their life experiences.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that it went from, you know, like the horse whisperer, mm-hmm. to then people talking about how to breathe and people saving people in Ukraine. It was just, it piqued everybody's interest in different places.
I don't know if you agree, but there were five or six of us in my group of friends that were there last night, including my wife and my dad, and we all kind of agreed that probably the best talk, and they were all good, don't get me wrong, but the best one was the first one with Mark Colo. C-O-L-O is his last name. I'm working hard to try to get Mark on this radio show. But Mark Colo was diagnosed at just the age of 48 with early onset Parkinson's disease. And of course, what is he, 65 now, 63, 60,
yeah, he's something like that. He's a little older.
Parkinson's is full onset. I mean, he's pretty. And first of all, how brave of him to get up on stage with that disease, knowing what it does, and shake like that. And yet, he was brave enough to do it.
Yeah, it was really inspiring, and it moved me. It did to watch him through his struggle to still get out there and share his story.
I think, you know, and I tell this to people all the time, because they are, you know, most people know when you see me walk, you know, I have a problem with my leg, and I don't want to get into the specifics, but basically I can't feel my left leg, most of it. And I sometimes can go, this sucks, you know, I can't play basketball anymore. I have this limp, you know, I can't do a lot of the things I like to do anymore. And I get the pity party going, you know, but When you look at other people who have overcome problems, I mean, this guy didn't ask to get Parkinson's. It came on him for whatever reason, genetic, whatever, and he has taken the proverbial lemons and made some pretty awesome lemonade.
Yes, he really did. And he still continued operating his business through that. He didn't quit and give up. He persevered and excelled.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only persevered, his business became one of the foremost business. He was in the moving industry, and he became one of the most trusted movers in the world, so much so that when people needed something sensitive, for instance, tissue samples that had to stay at a certain temperature, they went to him and they said, look, we know, we trust you. We know that you can do this. And he delivered time and time and time again. It's pretty awesome.
It was amazing. It was inspiring. I loved it.
Yeah. Great show. The theme last night, and tell me if you agree with this, Mello. I think togetherness or coming together something was the theme, but I really felt like the theme was more you are in control of your world. Mm-hmm. From Ryan Bean talking about controlling your breathing. Others talked about being in control of your brain, you being in control of your brain instead of vice versa. Mm-hmm. Blake, I think was her name, mountain climber.
Yes.
Talking about at one point she had a little mini panic attack. She didn't call it that.
It felt like it. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was a photographer who was shooting photos of her said, you're thinking too fast. And she said that at first she wanted to say, oh, what do you know? You know, you don't know me. But then she got thinking about it and she's like, he's right. I just need to slow everything down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I really liked Chris Jones at the end,
mm-hmm.
how he's talking about connecting pretty much the light, but the miracles in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and even though something terrible happens, it doesn't mean everything is terrible, that something good is connecting from that moment.
He lost a child and didn't go into specifics about what happened, but his child was sick. He lost a child when he was young, and he said it was the worst day of my life. And he said, but it also turned out to be one of the most wonderful things that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Who can look at something like that and turn that into a positive? It's incredible.
It was really nice to hear his side.
TEDx, if you get a chance to go to a TEDx, do it, folks. It's pretty awesome. They do it about, twice a year, right, here in southern Utah?
I think so. I think it's once a year here, but they may be moving to twice a year.
Okay. Yeah, I like I said, I highly encourage you. I honestly wasn't sure how I would fit in, being an older gentleman, and most of the crowd were people probably under the age of 40, and a lot of them under the age of 30. Like I said, I wasn't sure how I was going to fit in, and the pre-entertainment, pre-show was a little bit rowdy and raucous and made me feel even more like maybe this isn't the place for me. But then the show started and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was cool.
Well, thank you for getting us involved in that, Mello.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I'm so glad you came. It was so fun.
I showed up to get my tickets, and you were sitting right there, right next to my coworker Heather.
Yeah.
The two of you sitting there. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I know some people here. So, and also those that got tickets through the morning show here, too, were a few of them were there as well. It was pretty cool.
It was awesome. So, thank you.
Thanks for setting that up, Mello. Appreciate that. We're going to take a break. We've got to get our weather break in here. And when we come back, we'll talk about Mark Cole a little bit more. I also have, see if I can reach it over here. I found a website with a guy talking about, his language was a little crass, but his message was really good. Basically, things that make sure your life doesn't suck was kind of his the gist of what he wrote about. But he made some really salient points, and if you could wade through some of the bad words in there, wade through some of the weird way he termed things, it actually had some really good messages. We'll get to that when we come back. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU.
Welcome to Open Line Friday on the Andy Griffin Show. Time to call in with your gripes, opinions, theories, and conspiracies. Here's your chance. Don't blow it. Only on News Radio 890, 92.5, KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the program, 9:36 on KDXU. Again, lines are open today. If you want to call and be a part of the show, it's 673-5890. And it's not a recorded show. We're on live today. Somebody texted in and said, is this a pre-recorded show? No, we're here. Maybe when I play this in 6 months. No, I'm not going to play this one again. Anyway, if you want to be a part of the show, 673-5890. If you want to text in, would love to hear from you. It's 435-467-5842 is the text line. Earlier today, I had our impossible question of the day. It was kind of fun today. A lot of, I had 40, 50, 60 people text in their guests. The question was, And I had to give some hints along the way. Most people have at least three of these. What are they? And didn't get a right answer on that one. So I said most people have three of these, and we usually take at least one of them on vacation with us. Still didn't get a correct answer. So finally I said my final hint when we finally did get a winner was when I said most of people have three of these. We take them on vacation, and we quite often forget them in the hotel room. Now, Mello's going, no, it was a phone charger. Phone chargers, yeah. In fact, if you leave some town that you were vacationing in and you don't have your phone charger with you, I would say there's about a 95% chance you left it plugged in the hotel room. That is the most common forgotten items for motels. So 938 on KDXU. Thanks for tuning in today. I found this website, and I'm not going to give you the guy's website because number one, I don't have it in front of me, and number two, it was a little bit crass. He used some words that weren't the nicest words and stuff, but he did talk about passion in life, ways to make your life more meaningful. And so I took his list, and I kind of synopsized it and cleaned it up a little bit. And here are some of the things that ways to make your life more meaningful. Number one, are you at a job that you can stand the worst of the job? Now, I've found in the course of my lifetime, every job I've had, there have been, for the most part, I took jobs that I did stuff that I like to do, and things that I like to do were things that I was good at. That makes sense, right? But the issue was that every job I've had, there is some element occasionally of things that you don't like to do. Every single job you have, whether you're a realtor, and Mello in there is a realtor, there are things you have to do that just aren't really that fun. My son is a school psychologist, loves counseling kids. That's why he got into it, to counsel kids. Well, guess what? There's a lot of paperwork involved with being a school psychologist. He hates paperwork. Number one, the ways to make your life more meaningful, make sure you take a job where you can stand to do the worst that job has to offer. Number two is, what would your 8-year-old self be pretty unhappy with you about by what you're doing right now in the world? The example the writer gave was, he said he loves to write, but he won't write now unless he's getting paid for it. He said when he was 8 years old, he loved to write just for the sake of writing. And kind of learned a lesson as he thought back in time about why he started writing in the first place. Number three, what is it that you can do or that you do that makes you forget the world? You forget to go to the bathroom. You forget to eat. You forget everything because you're focused in on this one thing because you're that passionate about it. I like that. What makes you take a chance on getting embarrassed? Think about that one a minute. What makes you feel like you're contributing to a better world? Where would you go if money were not an object? What would you do? And then the final one is, if you had 1 year left in your life, what would you do with that year? Now, that can be kind of sad. Well, 1 year left, what? But if you think about that, if you were told you were going to die exactly 1 year from today, what would you spend your time doing? Food for thought. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Thank you for being patient. Richard, what's up?
Hey, Andy. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you.
Say, I've been spending a little time, not much, watching the basketball games, the college. Does it seem like there's too many good basketball players with a 5 o'clock shadow? Where's our woke people?
Well, that's
hasn't it quite hit the NCAA yet?
I don't know. I think, first of all, I will say this. I've actually enjoyed a few of the games that I didn't think I would enjoy. I don't know. Did you get to see any of Kansas State play last night? That little point guard, Noel is his last name, had 19 assists in the game last night.
I just watched some of the highlights, and okay. Yeah, he's a little spark plug. He's good.
Yeah.
He's got a good future, I think, in the NBA.
I love that kind of player that his success is if his team succeeds. You know, he doesn't care about points. He doesn't care about numbers. He just wants to do whatever he can to make his team succeed. I love that.
Kind of remind me of Stockton in the old days.
Johnny Stock, yeah. Still the career assist leader in the history of the NBA. Yeah, for sure. A number that LeBron will never touch, assists and steals by John Stockton. So
that's for sure. Hey, have a good one.
All right, thanks for calling. Now, I did something last night. Okay, I got home from TEDx, and it was after 10. I have a restless leg problem, and so they have some medication to help me sleep with the restless legs, but it takes like an hour or so to take effect, but it makes you very sleepy. So I came home at after 10, I don't know, I think it was 10:30 by the time we dropped my dad off and got home and everything. And then I still had to take my pill, which means that, you know, an hour after that is when I can finally go to bed. So I have to get up at the crazy hour, sometime during the 4 o'clock hours when I wake up. I didn't get to bed till midnight or so. But what I did was I got home and I'm like, look, I got an hour to kill. And I had all the games recorded from last night, all the NCAA tournament games. So I watched basketball. I watched like the last 4 minutes of three of the four games. The fourth game was a blowout. I didn't want to see the end of that. But the other three games were close. I watched like the last 4 minutes of all those. Plus, I watched more of the Kansas State game because I love that Noel point guard guy. He's such a fun player to watch. And he's got to be, I think he's like 5'4 or something like that. He's not very tall. Mello, how tall are you?
I'm 5'9.
You're 5'9. So you're taller than this guy by probably by several inches.
Yeah, but maybe that's why he's assisting.
Well, he scored like 20 points too. So he had like 20 points and 19 assists, 19 passes that set up other players. So just one of those transcendent talents that, yeah. So anyway, yeah, I stayed up late watching basketball. So I'm working on like 4.5 hours of sleep. So, and my grandkids are in town. Mello, my grandbabies are here. Maybe you get to meet them.
Oh, yeah. I'm so jealous.
You have, how many do you have?
I have one coming in May.
Oh, okay. So one and a half.
One and a half, but you've got yours all baked, so I'm jealous.
I've got 3 2/3 or something, because if I have two, I have three, and then my daughter-in-law, who will be here today, is pregnant with twins. She's due in a few weeks.
Oh,
so
that's exciting. So fun for you.
We're going to go from 3 to 5. We went from 0 to 2, like that, and then we're going to go from 3 to 5, just like that. So
do twins run in your family?
No, I think this has to do with the in vitro and IVF and all that stuff, and I don't know the details on it all. I don't know how that works, but yeah, they're going to have 4 kids under the age of 3. I told my son, and him, I don't know, maybe he's listening right now. I said, you realize you're going to have 4 kids under the age of 3. And he said, oh, Dad, we'll be fine. I said, you are so not going to be fine.
No, that's hard.
That's really, really hard. Not only that, you have to switch from man-to-man to zone defense when you have more kids than parents, right?
Yeah, they outnumber you, and they know that.
It's 9:45 on KDXU. Let's get one more commercial break in. We come back more from the Andy Griffin Show. Again, if you want to call, I'd love to hear from you today. 673-5890. I got a couple of texts here I want to look at, too. You can text me at 435-467-5842. Welcome back, 9:48. I'm Andy. Thank you for tuning in today. This was on the wire this morning. We knew it was coming, and now it's here. It's official, and I actually am really happy about it. Governor Spencer Cox yesterday signed a landmark bill, the first in the United States, that gives parents, that requires teenagers to get parents' permission for social media accounts. The first in the nation law Cox signed will also impose a digital curfew blocking sites for minors past 10:30 p.m. Ooh, there's going to be some mad teenagers. It will also black out ads and compel social media companies to allow parents to access their children's profiles. Lawmakers say this is vital because the studies are now out there and official on what social media is doing to our kids. They actually have results. Governor Cox even said yesterday, he said, you know, we wanted this bill a couple of years ago, but we didn't have enough data. There weren't enough studies out there. Now there are. We know social media is causing mental anguish, mental crises amongst our kids. The only problem I see right now with the bill is the fact that how in the world are they going to enforce some of these rules? you know, I mean, 10:30 curfew for social media. What, are they going to ask nicely that those that run, I don't know, Snapchat or TikTok or whatever, oh, please don't let my kid. I just don't. I don't know how they're going to do it until a whole bunch of states get together and band together as the United States and say, hey, and yeah, we're never going to get New York or California or Illinois, some of those liberal states to sign on. But if we can get a majority of the states to sign on and say, we don't want our kids to have this, at least at certain times, maybe something can be done about it. All right, let's go to the phone lines. And I need to make sure that we know who is who. Okay, Steve is here. Steve, what's up?
Good morning.
Morning.
So I wanted to ask you about Mike Lee and Chris Stewart, but if you don't mind, I'd like to just mention about Cox and what you're just talking about, social media. You know, we've talked about this for many years on your program, and, yeah. You know, I just don't, the government has no place in determining social media activity. This is a parent's issue. And, you know, the government can't legislate morality or ethics or anything else. It's not their place. And so I'm glad Governor Cox finally has realized that this is a problem. I mean, anyone paying attention has known that this has been a real issue for our kids.
Yeah.
With their handheld devices and their ability to open Pandora's box and go to just about any evil place that's out there. And, of course, good places, too. But, you know, kids don't go looking for good. They go looking for things that are forbidden.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you want your kid to stop being on social media, then as a parent, control your kids. Take their handheld device away from them. There's all kinds of controls on a telephone. But parents need to stand up and start parenting. And the government, you know, Governor Cox can't do a thing, and the states joining together aren't going to do a thing that's going to fix this problem. We have to go back to basic fundamental parenting and start parenting our kids again.
Now, the national government is talking about a ban on TikTok, and I don't know, but would you say, Steve, according to what I've gleaned from your opinion, that's none of the federal government's business, right? That should be, again, us parents deciding that kind of thing?
Well, you know, I'm all about the Constitution. It's the supreme law of the land. I would just ask you to show me anywhere in the Constitution where the federal government has any authority in that area.
Yeah, you're right. It's just, I feel like now, I have a 19-year-old. That's the closest I've been to this thing. And yeah, social media was prevalent when my two daughters were teenagers, but we were able to, first of all, we were very happy that they didn't show that much interest in it. And second of all, you know, they're pretty good girls and they did what we told them to do. But I just feel like with these laws, and you're right, the federal government doesn't have a right, the state government maybe doesn't have a right to stick its nose in these things, but I feel like parents need some help. Like if you make a rule in your house and your kid comes home and says, you know what, I am the only kid in my entire high school that is not allowed to go on to TikTok at 10 o'clock at night. That's tough as a parent. Your kid has some pretty good ammo of, you know, them saying, you know, you're the weird one, mom or dad or whatever. And so I feel like at the very least, these laws will give the parents a little bit of teeth, a little bit of backing.
Yeah. You know, Andy, I'm not that much older than you, but I remember I'm 67. I remember as a young kid, you know, coming home and, you know, hey, you know, mom and dad, these kids are going to go see a movie or whatever. And the response always was, well, you know, if Johnny was going to jump off of a cliff, would you, you know, want to jump off a cliff with Johnny? You know, this comes back to basic parenting. And just because your kid comes home, well, so I recall a situation. My daughter came home and she just had to have a pair of Guess jeans because everybody else at school had them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We just told, sorry. You know, if you want a pair, then you're going to have to go get a job, earn the money, and buy a pair if that's what you want. And, Andy, I've heard you say similar things with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just because every other kid's doing it, that's no justification for me to change my parenting, you know, my parenting beliefs and just fundamental beliefs. Parents, you know, you hear a tough love. Well, there has to be some tough in there if there's going to be some parenting. And, you know, it's just... I'm just shocked at how And you say that parents need help. No, they don't. What parents need to do is emulate their parents, and they need to simply stick to the core values that that family believes, and they need to enforce it. And the kids don't like it. Yeah, sorry. And when you get to be 18, 19, and you move out of my house, you can go do whatever you want. But as long as I'm providing you a roof over your head, a meal on the table, you're going to follow my rules.
Yeah.
And while that may sound tough, Andy, that's how you were raised. That's how I was raised. And why doesn't it still work?
And that's how I raised my boys. Unfortunately, one of them called me on it and moved out. And that was one of the hardest days of my life when my son said, I can't keep your rules anymore, Dad. I'm leaving. That was tough. In fact, he left me a note. He didn't even do it. We went out and we came back. He left a note. He was gone. That was a tough one.
Yeah, and Andy, that is tough. But that is the real life consequences of what we're doing. If you give in to your kids once, on anything that has been a core fundamental belief of yours, and you give in on it, they own you.
Yeah.
And they're going to run you around, pulling you around by the nose, and you're going to be basically, they're going to be the parent and you're going to be the kid. And we have to stop doing that.
You're right. You're right.
I know it's hard. Of course it's hard. There's a lot of things in life that are hard and they're painful. But you know what? That's the world that the Lord gave us. And there's a lot of learning and a lot of growing and a lot of maturing that happens because of all of that. And, you know, the answer isn't in the government.
Yeah.
And so switching back to the government, I noticed that Chris and Mike haven't been on lately. Is that seems like it, maybe I'm wrong, and certainly you'll correct me if I am. It seems like during elections, they were very available to you. Has that changed?
No, a lot of the fault is mine and the circumstances here at work. We changed ownerships, which means that they no longer had my email. And then when I would send them, in Chris Stewart's case, a different guy had taken over his media relations, and it's something I need to rectify. You're right, Steve. But I do intend to have Mike and Chris. In fact, I talked to representatives of theirs on Monday night this week and said, let's get this going again. So hopefully we will.
Well, that'd be great, because there's so many things going on in the world that we need answers to. And if we have our representative and if we have our senators, I noticed Mitt Romney has that never been on the program. I'm not sure why that is, but yeah. It's probably because he would find it hard to answer any serious questions that we would have for him.
He was on once 4 years ago for about 10 minutes, and I don't think he had a good experience because they have not answered my emails since then. So,
You know, if they're not willing to come on and answer your questions and our questions, then maybe there's something wrong.
I think there is in the case of Mitt Romney. I got to meet the guy that represented him at a dinner on Monday night, and very nice guy, but he knew who I was. Let me put it that way.
Mitt Romney's local guy, Kyle Wilson, that staffs his office here. He's a great guy, very very friendly, very accessible. And so, you know, I Mitt Romney is Mitt Romney. His staff, on the other hand, I have found to be quite open and quite friendly.
Yeah, good guys. All right, I got to let you go. We're running out of time. Thanks, Steve.
You bet.
9:58 on KDXU. I got 1 minute. I got to get some of these texts in. A lot of folks texted, the bill sounds impossible to enforce amidst many laws that are not being enforced that are possible. Also, I agree with the caller. Parents are more responsible. In my opinion, Governor Cox is not a patriot, but rather a politician. Yeah, I'll go along with that. Somebody asked about Seth. I don't know where Seth is lately. Haven't talked to him lately. He's mad at me because I suspended him for a little while, and I think that's why he hasn't called back again. Had another one here. Somebody said, I love the hairdresser. It's one of the last speakers last night, and how she makes a difference. And her thoughts were really salient. Be the hairdresser for somebody. And she didn't mean literally do their hair. She meant be the kind of person that they want to come and share with you and talk with you and be the person that makes them feel important, seen, loved. I'll leave you with that. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU.